Hello everyone, welcome to our life science lesson. We'll be talking about the characteristics and maybe touch on classifications of living organisms. After this lesson, you'll be able to must be able to list and describe the characteristics of living organisms, define the terms, which is nutrition, excretion, respiration, sensitivity, reproduction, growth, and movement. Those are the characteristics. You must be able to define them. Outline the use of hierarchical classification system for living organisms. Classify living organisms into kingdoms, orders, classes, families, genera, and species. Also define and describe the binomial system of naming of species. Construct determiners keys. Use the simple determiners keys based on easily identifiable features. But the last three, I'm not sure if you'll touch on them today, but we'll see how far we'll go. Now, classifications in your module 1 on page 2, it's where you'll find the characteristics of living organisms, where there's an activity that I want you to do. And let's move on to the characteristics of living organisms. We have 7 characteristics, which is nutrition, respiration, movement, excretion, growth, reproduction, and sensitivity. Those are our 7 living organisms characteristics. So for a human or an animal, plant as a living organisms, they must have every living organism must have 7 characteristics. Now let's define them. The first character is nutrition, whereby living things or living organisms, they take in materials or food or water from their surroundings that they use for growth or to provide energy. Taking food for energy, taking water for energy. So it's nutrition. You're eating something, you're putting inside your body, something inside your body. Nutrition is the process by which organisms obtain energy and raw materials from nutrients such as proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. So as long as you are able to take in something. Animals, they do eat grass, they do eat other animals, so at least they're falling under nutrition. They're living organisms, as they can take in the materials or food sources. As long as you have 7 characteristics, then you're a living organism. A stone doesn't eat, so it's just an organism. It's not a living organism, but it's a non-living organism. Moving on to the second one, which is respiration. Respiration, remember in our other lesson in the video, we talked about the respiratory system. Now, whereby we talked is the respiratory is the inhaling and inhaling of oxygen and exhaling of carbon dioxide. So respiration is the release of energy from food. Now, in terms of the characteristics, respiration is the release of energy from food substances in all living cells. Living things break down food within their cells to release energy for carrying out the following processes. Now, with respiration, as long as they are, for example, let's say you may be running now, you are releasing some energy from the food substances that you have taken in as nutrition. So these things are following each other. Okay. And then we move on to the movement. What are you talking about? When you talk about movement, movement when you are moving from one place to another, or just when you are move, like all living things, they move. Plants, they do move. Some of them, they move. Like when the sun is going, they are now turning towards the sun. They are moving, though they are not moving as humans or as animals from one place to another, but they are moving. All living things move. It is very obvious that a leopard moves, but what about the thorn tree it sits in? The leopard moves, look maybe for shade, but that baobab tree or that macadamia tree, it's always there. You always see it there at one spot. But now get this, plants, they move in various different ways. The movement may be so slow that it's very difficult to see. As I've said, maybe for example for the sunflower, they do close up and they open up. Okay, so that's another, that's a kind of movement. And also some the leaves, whereby their leaves are, when it's maybe when it's too hot, like for example in the desert when it's too hot, they close up their leaves to avoid evaporation. So plants also, they do move. Thus, that's why they are also called living organisms. And then we move on to excretion. Excretion, what are we talking about when excretion? Exit, excrete, dispose. Okay. Excretion. Every living organism, they do excrete. As a result of the many chemical reactions occurring in cells, they have to get rid of waste products which might poison the cells. Excretion is defined as the removal of toxic materials, the waste products of metabolism, and substances in excess from the body of an organism. Now, you can excrete urine, sweat, feces, and so forth, water vapor, and so forth. That's excretion. The plants, they release water as water vapor through their stomatal pores in the leaves. Okay, so plants are still living organisms so far. Now, growth. Does a stone grow? Does a stone grow? No, it doesn't grow unless it just maybe. But it doesn't grow. No, it doesn't. Unless, for example, maybe a door, when it's during rainy seasons, then it gets soaked up by water, then it becomes big, but that's not growth. Growth is seen in all living things. Imagine you are planting an animal, planting a plant, or maybe last week, and then after 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, you found that plant so big. How, what is, what you call it? It's growth, people. It's growth. Or imagine you were once a baby, you were once a fetus, but now here you are, you have grown up. Okay, growth involves using food to produce new cells. The permanent increase in cell number and size is called growth. When the cell number increases in size, is called growth. Let's move on to reproduction. I know this is your favorite part, but every living organism do reproduce. Okay, they do reproduce offsprings in plants, is there's
do this by means of pollination, and then they meet, the male and the female meet, the pollen grains they meet, and then offsprings will be brought up, will come up there. So that is reproduction, when they produce offsprings, when mommy and daddy produce, comes up with a baby, that's what it's called, reproduction. They are coming up with an offspring. Sensitivity. Now the last one is that all living things are able to sense and respond. And remember that we have our five senses: the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the nose to smell, the tongue to taste, the skin to feel. I think there are five: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. There are five senses to sense what is around us. All living things are able to sense and respond to stimuli around them, such as light, temperature, water, gravity, and chemical substances. For example, now light. Light is sensed by the eyes. Temperature is sensed by the body. Water is sensed by the tongue, I think, because if you drink water, it's tasteless. You can see it's water. But if it's sugar water, you can still taste that it's sugar plus water, sugar water. Then gravity is the skin. The ears. I'm not really sure, but and then the chemical substances, it's the nose. You see, something is, this is chemical. I can't just mess around with it. Make sure that you learn these seven characteristics of living organisms. They form the basis of the study of life science. Each of these characteristics will be studied in detail. You could study them in detail during the course. Remember that every seven characteristic, every living organism must carry out those seven characteristics. I also want you to do the activity number two, which says that which characteristics of living organisms are similar to those of a motor car, and why is a car not a living organism? Why do you think a car is not a living organism? I'm giving you an example of a stone. So give me why a car is not a living organism. Moving on, you must also do activity three. Activity three on page four. You must also do that. And it's quite long, but just do it for you to understand better. And then classification of living organisms. Here we'll just touch a bit. Classification is a grouping of organisms according to their structural similarities. If you have ever been to a library, you know that much to find a book easier than being grouped according to which characters they have in common. Now, classification help us to impose order in the general plan on the diversity of living things. Scientists have always tried to organize and classify their objects, including living organisms, around them. Classification can be defined as grouping organisms according to their structural similarities. This means that organisms that share similar features are placed in one group. For example, grouping girls on one side and grouping boys on the other side. That's called classification. Now let's move on. Let's move on to I don't know why this is not showing now. Okay. To the Australian similar, this means that organisms that share similar features are placed in one group. These groups are arranged from the largest group of organisms to the smallest group of organisms. The groups from the largest to the smallest are arranged as follows. Now, the biggest group is the kingdom, followed by the phylum, which is singular, plural is phyla, and then followed by class, followed by order, then family, then genus. Genus is in singular now. Plural is genera. Genera, G-E-N-E-R-A. And then the last one, the smallest of all, the baby, which is the species. The species is the smallest group of organisms. As you go through the classification hierarchy, you will see that scientists have used broader features to put organisms into kingdoms, which are the largest group of organisms. When you move down towards the species, which are the smallest group of organisms, features are becoming specific. In other words, two organisms that belong to the same species share more features than those in the same kingdom but in different species. A species can be defined as a group of organisms with similar features, and these organisms are capable of breeding and produce fertile offspring. For example, you've seen a horse and a donkey. They belong to the same kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, as well as the genus. But they don't belong to the same species. Therefore, if a donkey and a horse, they mate. If they mate, they happen to breed, they will produce an offspring, which is called a mule. But this mule is infertile, meaning it cannot reproduce offspring because it's a product of organisms of different species. A mule won't be able to reproduce. Classification hierarchy has many uses. First, it helps scientists to sort organisms in order. And second, it helps them to identify new organisms by finding out which group they fit. And third, it's easier to study organisms when they are sorted in groups. And if I ask you, what are the importance of classification hierarchy? You give me that it helps scientists to sort organisms in order. And then the second one, it helps them to identify new organisms by finding out which group they belong or they fit. And then the last one, it is easier to study organisms when they are sorted in groups. That's where we will end for today. And then when I come for the next when I come back, we'll continue from there. So do your activities, 2, 1, 2, and 3. Maybe the first activity also on classification. So that, yeah, so you'll be able to understand when I'm coming, you at least have an idea of what is going on. We're going to continue with the definition and describe the binomial system of naming to construct the terminus key and use simple based on. The first activity, second and third activities in your module one. Module one. Okay.